So let's get back to what we were going to hit here. That was great. It was great talking to Ross. I loved his Laramie Tunsil take because there were so many people in similar positions to Ross Tucker, Seth, basically outside the geofence of Houston here that that said, what are you guys doing, man? You couldn't protect C.J. Stroud and you traded your best pass protector.
No, and the people that love to minimize the penalties, like, it's no big deal. It's 5 yards. Like, no, you haven't watched it. You haven't seen the first downs and touchdowns, the drives that are killed, the manageable situations that become third and long, all of the times that he's actively damaged the team out of nothing but pure selfishness. Those pre-snap penalties are 100% pure selfishness. And it was just unbelievable that there were people still sticking up for him through it all. It was unbelievable to me.
All right, here was D'Amico Ryans on the Rams yesterday at his press conference. He has the utmost respect for Sean McVay.
Yeah, I have the utmost respect for Sean and what he's been able to accomplish in his time there in L.A. Team is always prepared, always ready to go, no matter what year it is, who's available for him. Like, he's had turnover, but he's continued to have success. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach, played in multiple NFC championship games, so we know they're going to be ready to go. One thing about Sean, his group, they're going to be very detailed. They're going to play hard, so it's going to be a four-quarter battle, and we're excited to go against these guys. Went against him a lot, and it's always been a tough challenge. He does a really good job with the motions, timing things up properly, putting defenses in conflict by all the motions and the snap points. So he does a really great job, really smart coach, really prepared. So looking forward to the challenge.
This is the first season that D'Amico is now going against all these NFC West teams that he was so familiar
with.
Right,
these teams that he's seen before. And a lot of them have changed. Like, the Seahawks have changed a lot, obviously. Yeah. But McVay
not the
remains
Rams.
McVay.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that McVay has also changed his offense since D'Amico left, or at least started making that transition into kind of changing their style of run plays, etc. So I think D'Amico knows that he can't just go in thinking, oh, yeah, I know what McVay does. And if any of you start thinking that way, you're going to hurt yourself way more than you help yourself. I do think that one of the things that D'Amico excels at in teaching defensive football is explaining to guys, all right, most offenses, like, there's only so many plays you can run. The variation in schemes or between coordinators sometimes is just, how do they get to it? How do they get to what they want to do? How do they get to these plays? And it's a lot of the bells and the whistles. It's the pre-snap motion. It's the formations, all of those things that you got to teach your defensive players to kind of see through the fluff and nonsense and the misdirection and then just go out and play football. And D'Amico does a really good job of simplifying that for people. So that's the battle, I think, that no matter how McVay may have tweaked or changed his scheme, it's all of that misdirection stuff that you just got to teach your players how to see through it. And you know, that's when it's not a divisional opponent or something, that's a lot harder to do in the course of 1 week. But they have had 2 weeks to prepare for it. The other big part of it is that they haven't seen, you know, the Rams don't play any of their starters in the preseason. So they really, in any given year at the beginning of the season, you really don't know what you're going to see or like how they're going to use Puka Nacua or anything like that. So there is a lot of uncertainty. But there is an advantage in D'Amico having faced him before, as long as D'Amico, as he'll tell you himself, doesn't think that he knows exactly what's going to happen.
But at least you've got film of how McVay uses Puka last year or whatever. Like, Davante Adams is a wild card in this because we have no idea what he looks like in a Rams uniform yet.
Well, but that's the thing. They can use Puka differently with a different supporting cast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Davante Adams is different than Cooper Kupp in some regards. So how do they use those two together compared to what they've done traditionally?
Yep. Here's McVay, D'Amico. So D'Amico loving up on McVay. Here's Sean McVay and what he had to say yesterday about the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they're a great team. You know, I think they take on the personality of their head coach. And D'Amico's a guy, physical, tough, they play smart, they toe the line. I think they're really, you know, that's reflected in all three phases. You know, they have continuity in the defense and on the special teams where they've been excellent. And then I think they've been really dang good the last couple years on offense. Obviously took a little bit of a step back, but, you know, we know what a great coach Nick Caley is. They kept a lot of their great coaches that were already in place. You know, he and Jerry Schaplinski are really the only new guys as far as I know. But it's excellent personnel. There's a style of play. There's a reason why they've been a top eight team each of the last couple of years, you know, winning their division, and then being able to advance into the divisional round. And, you know, they're excellent. We got a chance to practice against them a year ago, but everything that they're about is what I respect, and that's why we know it'll be such a great challenge, and that's what you love about the league.
I just love Sean McVay. Sean McVay's voice makes me smile. Like, I don't know that anybody, their voice, especially on like a Zoom call like that, is different than what the guy looks like than Sean McVay. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe he knew how much Jerry Szaplinski we've been talking this offseason.
For those of you who don't know,
Jerry Szaplinski is he's a senior offensive assistant.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know where whatever Bobby Slowick is in Miami, I think Jerry Szaplinski is some of that. Kind of an assistant coach on I'm guessing on the passing game coordinator side.
Yeah, he seems to spend a lot of time. He seems to spend a lot of time next to CJ out of practice.
Yeah. Kind of like, I think Bill, probably in a little bit of the same role as Bill Lazor, almost like genuinely when they say a senior assistant, almost like a guy who's been in the league, is really smart, and can kind of lend his expertise where it's needed.
That's a nice job to have. You know, it's just, you're just in there giving a little bit of advice here and there. Nobody in the fan base is pointing a finger at you when things are going bad. You're just, telling CJ, work on your footwork there a little bit. And then you go and you hang out and get a cup of Gatorade. You know, that's what it feels like. So McVay, great respect between these two head coaches. If there is a game wrecker in this game for the Rams against the Texans, it's probably Jared Verse. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on this game being decided in the trenches, and he brings up Verse by name.
This game, I think ultimately it is right now, as I continue to go through it in my mind, I think it really hinges upon both offensive lines blocking two really talented defensive lines. The Rams have one of the best young defensive lines in the NFL, Verse, Fisk, Turner, Young. It was a young group, and those guys play, they get after it. They play relentless. They're tough. They're going to be a really, really good group to challenge our offensive line, and the same for their offensive line versus our defensive line. We have a really good group up front, one of the strengths of our team, and we have to, it's going to be a challenge to see how that shapes up, but both offensive lines are going to have to play well, and whoever wins that battle, I think, will ultimately decide the game.
The one guy I think that probably won't get discussed much at all, but I think is very, very relevant along the defensive line for the Rams, is Puna Ford, the defensive tackle, because they did not have a good run defense last year. So they bring Puna Ford in, and I think that could be a difference, especially going against an interior offensive line that we have a lot of question marks about. Jake Andrews has played very little actual NFL football.
Yeah.
And what are you going to get versus this Rams defense, who was not a great run defense, but they bolstered their linebacking core. They bolstered their defensive line. Jared Verse is he's just vicious, man. He's so powerful. And Ariante Ursary versus Jared Verse is going to be really interesting to watch. But if there's one weakness that Verse had last year, he was kind of unaware in the run game at times. And there were things that teams could do to exploit that. He's talked a lot this offseason about how he's added to his speed rushing element. It hasn't worked his power rush hardly at all. Kind of like, he's a lot like Will Anderson, Jared Verse. But I haven't seen a lot of people talk about him improving his run defense. That's going to be the thing I'm watching, is, all right, is he dialed in? I mean, he makes some big plays versus run, don't get me wrong, but he also gets caught unaware at times.
Yeah.
And if Nick Caley can exploit that, if that is still a problem, that's a big win for Nick Caley.
Yep, for sure. Puna Ford on the Chargers last year. That's got to be kind of nice. You sign with a different team, but you don't have to change any of your routine. You can live where you lived. You could just go into a different locker room in the facility there.
Puna made some really nice plays versus the Texans last year in that playoff game. I mean, he was probably one of the only guys that was putting in a good defensive performance in that game. So he's not doing it against the same guys this year, but I very recently watched Puna Ford physically handle some Texans offensive linemen. So that's and this is a team that probably for the first time in history has a Puna and a Puka on the same squad.
Okay, well, it's better
having
than
a Puka and a Puna.
It's better than having seven Jalen's on the team.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, I wasn't saying it's a bad thing. I think it was a really, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They got a Puka. And
that's why I said it's better.
Movie.
I said it's better than having seven Jalen's on the team. It's less confusing. All right, Teron Armstead, offensive lineman who retired. If you want to know how good Jared Verse is, take a listen to this. What was this on, Seth? Teron Armstead.
This is I don't know. I picked it up off of social media, but they hadn't told me which podcast it was. But this is Teron Armstead asking when asked why he won't come back to the NFL.
That young boy, Jared Verse?
Yep.
I'm cool. I'm good. I never got to see that man again. I'm all right with I'm okay with that. Never seeing that young man again in my life. Bull Rush different. Dog is different. You know that it's coming. You brace yourself. He's different. Jared Verse is different. He will be a defensive player of the year one of these days. Mark my words.
Wow.
That's a big that is a huge compliment when you consider the age of edge rusher that we're living in right now. That's Teron Armstead. You know, he's played for the Saints and he's played for the Dolphins. Probably he's only seen, he's seen Jared Verse once. He's seen all these other guys multiple times. That's the guy that pops into his head right there.
That was on SiriusXM. They don't say, even SiriusXM themselves didn't say who the hosts were.
Yeah.
Way to take care of your hosts, SiriusXM.
SiriusXM's a little weird.
Yeah, they're a little weird on social media. Like, they try to still act like it doesn't exist in some ways. Yeah. So they don't want their hosts to be able to make
get
money
over.
Off of it.
Yeah.
So, no, I think, like, Toronto, and honestly, you don't hear veteran offensive linemen talk too much about, like, oh, this guy's got a vicious bull rush, because most good offensive linemen can handle it pretty well. I think it's a pretty good testament, without me being able to show the highlight reel on radio, of just how powerful he is. If you go, I'll post a highlight reel a little bit later that starts off with just three ridiculous bull rushes by Jared Verse. He's powerful, man. And for a rookie offensive tackle, especially like Ariante Irsery, Ariante's a big dude, but he does let guys get into his body a little too much for my liking. And in college, you can get away with it because you can kind of just lean on people. You can't get away with it versus guys like Jared Verse. So he's seen power rushes by Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. He's certainly seen more speed and a greater plethora of moves going against Danielle Hunter than if he were going against any other defensive end in the league. Jared Verse is just a different type of beast, though. He's just when it comes to the actual power element of his game, there's very few guys like him. So I'm really bullish on Ariante Irsery, but this is a really big test for him in week one, as a test, obviously, for Titus Howard.
How does Nick Caley help him out? How do you help out Ariante Irsery?
Just all the old classic ways. You slide, but this is where it gets dicey. If you slide protection his way, that's exactly what happened to the Texans last year. They got predictable in their pass protection. And, then you bring a blitz from the other side. The other big thing is helping out with chips. And that's where I think Woody Marks looking really impressive for a rookie in pass protection, that goes a long way. And this week one, if you had a rookie running back that was a really good receiver out of the backfield, but man, he just did not know what he was doing in pass protection. The last thing you want to do is have him help out Ariante Irsery with Jared Verse. But I think they might be willing to see how Woody Marks does in that regard. So the running backs and Nick Chubb as well, like all those guys, that's going to be a big part of it.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. That sounded like someone doing an impression of Sean McVay. Yeah, I just listened to his voice, and I'm like, boy, if he had to, because he's got a really attractive wife, I think, but if he had to woo her without the benefit of a visual, like if it was Love is Blind, that show where you're trying to woo the woman and there's a curtain in between you, Sean McVay would never get engaged because his voice, he sounds like a nerd. He sounds like a dork. Well,
his wife, this was something that I just kind of saw people mention in passing, and they didn't want to talk about it or discuss it. Because, I'm guessing Sean McVay wanted to keep it quiet. But his wife is Ukrainian, and her family's in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago when it looked like the Rams were skidding off the rails, that was as everything was really heating up in Ukraine. And, that's a whole part of – it sounds like he's intensely private about it, because I've only heard it from kind of Rams beat writers who kind of brought it up and then quickly stopped talking about it. Yeah. But it's everybody's got their own private struggles that, you know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben, do you still have Sean McVay pulled up there? Can you play like the first 5 seconds of?
Yeah, they're a great team. You know, I think they take on the.
Yeah, he'd be screwed on Love is Blind. Love is Blind, he'd be screwed. He'd be like behind the curtain.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, what are you wearing? What do you smell like?
He'd be totally screwed, man. That voice. He'd be the only guy on Love is Blind and never get engaged. It's crazy. All right.
By the way, Garrett Heinrich was driving his daughter to school, and she said she was laughing really hard when we were talking about the whole 6'7" slang that the kids are using.
She probably knows what it is.
So I told Garrett, tell her to define it. Tell her.
Yeah.
And she shrugged and then said, 6'7".
Yeah, right. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think it does. It means, from what I've seen in my various searches, it means whatever the hell they want it to mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no, you can't attach a specific meaning to 6'7", apparently.
Okay. I need this to go away now. I didn't know it existed until Ross told me about it. So, all right. High praise for a Texans position group by somebody who was here, a national person who was here at the joint practices. This got me excited because this guy would know about good wide receiver play. We've got that for you. We got the petty cast. We have a good petty cast today. I promise you that. That's at the top of the hour.